I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we go from Cano to Conforto, now to Nimmo. And if there was a bright spot, and there weren't many as far as the regular lineup last year, Brandon Nimmo was one of them, that's for sure. Obviously, the pitchers aside, and he had a, for him, a very big season last year, and he's a big part of the Met plans this year. Welcome. I don't think we've ever met before, Brandon.
Thanks,
welcome.
Mike.
How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having
pleasure.
Me.
Pleasure. Thanks very much. What'd you take from last year?
Yeah, getting a lot of confidence from last year. You know, when you do it for a year, you kind of rule out the, you know, it's just kind of, you know, good luck kind of thing. So, you know, being able to make adjustments last year, you know, they started to throw the ball a little bit up more up on me
right.
Halfway through the year and was able to make an adjustment and, you know, maybe even showed that I could be, you know, kind of take two different approaches. First half of the season had a little more power. Second half of the season showed a little bit more ability to get on base on a regular basis and hit some hard line drives. So, yeah, I think I just gained a lot of confidence from last year.
You know, it's funny. I was just talking to Cano and Conforto about it, the shifts and all that stuff. And I actually think some teams are leaning against the left-handed hitters even because of the way they're struggling with these shifts compared to the righty hitters.
No doubt.
Is it something that you – Cano said he's adjusting to it. Now he says, I'm getting a little older, maybe I'm getting a little smarter. You see him shoot the ball through the left side today. Obviously, he's capable of doing that. He's a lifetime 300 hitter.
Right.
But do you, are you a guy – now, you did a great job last year. You showed power and you showed on base percentage, which is the that's the way to the – that's the golden route if you can do it.
It is.
You did both. But how about that? Do you have to show some – at least acknowledge the shift or do you not even want to think about it?
No, I know. I acknowledge it. You know, in fact, I've been working on the bunting game for that.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, I can incorporate.
And you don't see a lot of bunts from anybody anymore.
No.
You really don't.
No, you don't. You don't. And I think that's something that definitely, for me, the guy that I'm looking to get on base, you know, I have to take advantage of. If that third baseman, you know, kind of gets a little bit too far in that five hole, then lay one down.
Well, you think of a lefty dragging a bunt, but how about pushing the bunt that way?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, it's definitely changed the game a little bit.
Right.
And so you have to adjust to it as well. That is the game of baseball is adjustments. So
but guys are so conscious, too, of exit velo and uppercutting that ball and getting that ball up. And, you know, so every lefty, you see him try to get that ball up in the air, which is going to, you know, it's going to affect hitting line drives when you're trying to get that ball and get it on the rise and get it in the seats.
No doubt.
Which is so many lefties you see doing that
now. You know, I think it's knowing yourself a little bit as well, because if you feel really comfortable against a pitcher, then, you know, maybe you can go ahead and try and elevate a little bit more. But if you're maybe a little bit less comfortable against this guy, maybe you just want to try and shoot that side. It's definitely something that everyone should try and bring into their game, because in order to get hits, you have to hit it where they're not. And so, you know, definitely they're moving everybody to the right side, so that means less people on the left side. So you definitely want to be able to drive the ball the other way as well.
That power is one thing. That 404 on base percentage is something else. That is that's big stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, 400, that's magic if you can get a 400 on base percentage.
Yeah, no, it was a great year last year. You know, had a lot of
A lot of walks.
Yeah, a lot of walks, and then, you know, hit by pitches too. You know, trying to own my batter's box. You know, know. These guys sometimes try and, and scare you out of
Absolutely.
It. You know, and so, you know, realizing that that's another way on base. And, you know, you obviously don't want to get, you don't want to get hurt or anything like that, but you go ahead, you know.
A lot of great hitters, Don Baylor, Frank Robinson. Frank Robinson used to put that elbow over the plate and got hit all the time.
And I, you know, I definitely don't want to, you know, be reaching over the plate or anything like that. But, you know, when they come in and make a mistake in the batter's box, you know, you want to try and take advantage of that. So any way to get on base is possible.
How about the consciousness of being a guy who can attack it and hit it out of the park, but also walk? Now, you think of the big power hitters, they're going to walk because they're afraid of them. Because, you know, the Mickey Mantles of the world, the Barry Bonds of the world, they're going to pitch around them all the time. But a guy who's going to maybe bat leadoff and can has home run pop, but also looking at pitches a lot. Gaudy looks at a lot of pitches, and he can pop it, and he looks at a ton of pitches. You feel comfortable hitting a lot? You got to be able to hit with two strikes, right?
You do. And that's one thing that I've been able to do. You know, even when I first got into the Mets system, they made us take until two strikes and get comfortable with hitting with two strikes. So,
well, Alonzo was a great two-strike hitter if you go back with him with the Mets. He was a great, really a wonderful two-strike hitter.
Exactly.
guys don't like to hit with two strikes.
There's a lot of guys because, you know,
you're going to get the curveball in the dirt, you know, the whole thing, right? You know,
So I think that what plays to my benefit is that strike zone. You know, the strike zone's discipline, and so trying to have that strike zone discipline with two strikes allows me to be able to get to that count.
What's the key of being confident hitting the two strikes? Well, you know you're going to hit a lot of breaking balls, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you definitely have to work on that. You know, you got to work on, you know, what the pitches that you think they're going to go to. You know, curveballs in the dirt, you know, whatever it may be, and being able to recognize and lay off, and then
are there certain pitches you don't want to go to two strikes on that? You know, who are really nasty with that? With maybe a breaking ball or something.
Well,
like that?
I mean, obviously, you know, there's the aces of the game. You know, there's the Scherzers, the Verlanders.
Sure. I mean, they're going to get you out anytime.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, those guys make it really tough. But, you know, honestly, there's a lot of guys that I feel very, very comfortable with two strikes hitting, and I had a lot of success with it last year. And it's because of the strike zone discipline. So, really, it's just trying to find a good pitch to hit. Honestly, you're trying to find that mistake. So, whenever they make the mistake early in the count, you jump on it. But if they're not, then, you know, you kind of take your chances with two strikes.
When I've talked to Brody, he's stressed depth. He's stressed versatility. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, Cano, I know they're going to have to drag him off the field. The guy, I've watched him all these years. He doesn't want to come out of the game. Conforto says he wants to play right. I prefer to play right all the time.
Yep.
That changes things if that's the case. Now, you, what do you see for you? Obviously, you know, center field. You want to play every day if you can.
Yep.
But, I mean, how do you see your role to start? Do you see it as a guy who's got to prove he's going to play every day, or do you think they're going to give you a chance to play every day?
Honestly, I think whenever you come into a season, you can't take it as, I've got this in the bag.
Right.
You have to come in and you have to prove that you can do this on an everyday
basis. And hit
lefties. Yeah, exactly.
But you got to see lefties to hit lefties, right? That's funny. You know, Paul O'Neill told me early in his career, you know, because he had a book where Lou Piniella was a great hitter, a good hitter, and a good hitting teacher and a manager. He can't hit lefties. Well, when he came to the Yankees, let him play every day. All of a sudden, he could hit lefties.
Right.
And a guy, he says, hey, I never got a chance to hit lefties when I was young. How was I supposed to hit him?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to see him to hit him.
No,
right?
You're exactly right. And I think that's where I think I would be interested to see my second half against lefties versus the first half. Because, you know, in April, we just had a platoon going.
Right.
And I never did see
And if you don't
lefties.
See lefties, it's hard.
But then you face 97 specialists.
Right. And a big hook and, you know, and a slider on your belt.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's tough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I like to tell people that when I got into pro ball, I didn't hit righties or lefties very well. So, but once I saw guys over and over again, then I started to be able to make the adjustments. So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword. You got to see them to hit them.
Was last year the big jump in power and everything, was it a surprise to you? Or did you? I mean, was it not a surprise to you and was it a surprise to us?
There was a little bit of surprise, you know, for me. There was definitely things I've been working on for the past couple of years with K-Long and Six on getting my legs a little bit more. And you know, we looked into that launch angle stuff as well because I was making a lot of hard contact, and if I just change that angle.
Well, look
a little
bit. Murphy did. Murphy changed it, and he always made contact, right?
Yep.
He made contact better than anybody in baseball, and all of a sudden, when he changed that launch angle, he became a different guy.
Exactly. So a very similar thing for me is, you know, they noticed that I was hitting a lot of balls really hard,
right?
So I just needed to kind of change that launch angle a little bit, and that's what we did, you know, last year. And also, I got a little bit closer to the plate a couple of years ago, and all those things kind of came together last year and allowed me to be able to drive the ball better.
you know, when you have the kind of year you did, and like, you know, as everyone knows, if you're going to hit home runs and walk, you're going to play. I mean, that's the way the game is, because you're going to have high OPS, which is what baseball's about. Right. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yep.
With that, and we're talking with Brandon Nimmo, if that's the case, they're going to find a place for you. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So, I mean, when you have the kind of year you had last year, it jumps off the page. Look at it. I mean, look at his OPS. You know, that's a great season.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, no, definitely. Those are things that they're looking at in baseball now, and so those are the places you try and improve on, is, you know, that on-base percentage and driving the ball with that slugging. But yeah, on-base plus slugging, that's the big number, and so everybody's trying to get, you know, at least over 800 for that, and you're going to be an everyday guy.
And you almost got the 900 last year, which is pretty nice. You know, did confidence breed success, or is it, I mean, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, do you have to be successful do you have to have some confidence to be successful, or you got to find somewhere along the way, one's got to start first, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You got to be productive first, or you got to have confidence first.
You know, I think the big thing that you'll find with all these guys in this clubhouse is they're all very confident in themselves. Now, there's been reason for that, obviously, coming up through, you know, every level they've been, you know, the best player that they've been. But there's a point at some time, you know, that all of these guys hit where you're not necessarily the best anymore, and you end up struggling. And all of us probably went through that in the minor leagues at some point, and I know I did as well. And that's when you really have to believe in yourself and believe in your work ethic. And I find a lot of confidence in my preparation. So when I prepare for pitchers and catcher, you know, going out and playing the game, and I'm looking at the video on the pitchers and the catchers and what their sequences are, and I'm putting all that preparation in, and then my video work as well, I find a lot of confidence in that. So that's where the confidence comes from before getting the success. But then once you do get some success, it breeds a different kind of confidence.
Was there a point last year where you started to expect that the performance that we saw?
You know, I really tried to focus really, really hard on the small details each day. And when I looked up at the end of the year, I looked up and I was like, wow, this is a good place where I'm at. You know, obviously we would love for the team to be in a different spot. But personally, when I looked up, I was like, okay, wow.
Baseball is still an individual sport that you got to help your team, but you can't help them if you don't hit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I tried to keep a very, very small, window, you know, of just trying to focus on each pitch, and trying to win each pitch of every at bat. And then when I was out in the field, you know, just try and be ready for each. And when I took it that, you know, that small of increments, then I looked up at the end of the year and I was in a really good spot. So I plan to do the same thing this year and try and take care of the very, very small details.
How'd you feel about defense last year? How'd you feel at the defensive end of it last year?
I felt like I improved on a lot of things last year. Obviously, It's kind of like what we were talking about with left-handed pitching. You got to be able to get out there and do it. It is different in the big leagues because you have that third deck on, it is different in the outfield.
Absolutely,
in the big leagues. So, you know, you have to be able to get out there, get the experience. And once I did, you know, I really got much better at the corners. And then I think, you know, definitely we're working on center field as well. But I came up through the minor leagues as a center fielder and very, very comfortable there.
Everybody says if you can play center, center's easier to play, right? Because it's a better angle.
Better
right?
angles, right. Yeah. And nobody's like top spinning those, you know, and guys are hitting the ball really hard all the time in the big leagues. And those top spinners are probably one of the toughest ones.
But you got to throw it in the center. You got to go get the alleys and you got to throw it. So you got to run and throw.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I'm very confident in my ability to play center field, but you know, I'm also a big team guy, and you know, I really believe that wherever they need me to go, whether it's center or left, you know, that I can help out in either place. But I really believe I made, you know, really big strides last year defensively.
Well, listen, keep it up. Good luck. Congratulations on a great season last year.
Mike.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate
pleasure
it.
To talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Brandon Nimmo back after this.